Well, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. You know, it's one thing to try to describe something, and it's another thing for you to see a picture of it and let the picture do the talking. For instance, I could try to describe to you what it looks like for a tornado to come and the power of the wind and the movement of the clouds. It's one thing for me to try to explain that to you, but it's another thing for you to see a picture of a storm. Would you look at this picture? Picture's worth a thousand words. The power of a storm, and when that funnel touches ground, what takes place? It'd be another thing for me to try to explain to you what it looks like to be somewhere in the Caribbean or somewhere in the South Pacific and sitting on a beach, or that just the tranquil waters and it's absolutely crystal clear blue and there's a sweet white boat where you could just sit there and lay all day and soak in the sun. It's one thing for me to say that to you. It's another thing for you to see a picture and you're just thinking, well, daggum, I wish I was there. A picture is worth a thousand words. Just how clear the water is and how warm that looks like it would be and how lazy you could be all day and a big umbrella over your head and a chair and just taking naps all day. I can just feel it when I'm looking at the picture. A picture evokes a thousand words. It's one thing for me to talk to you about love. About a man who's been away in service and he has been away from his bride for a long time and he is anticipating coming home. She's anticipating them coming together and they finally meet in the center of the city for the first time they see each other and they embrace each other and they kiss. I could tell you about that, but it would be another thing if you just saw a picture of that. She's apparently swept away. Girlfriend's got a severe curvature of her backbone right now. Everybody's standing around saying, wow. I could try to explain to you what it looks like when tyranny takes over and helpless people are overrun and how moms with children are mistreated. It would be one thing for me to tell you that. It'd be another thing for you to see a picture of that. A picture is worth a thousand words. It would be one thing for me to try to explain to you that a homeless man could have absolutely nothing and yet act like he has not a care in the world. I could tell you that, but it's another thing whenever you see a picture of that. Smoking on a cigarette, talking on a cell phone. Priorities. It'd be one thing for me to explain to you what it's like to ride with a 90-year-old woman. It'd be another thing for you just to see a picture of what it's like to ride with a 90-year-old woman. A picture is worth a thousand words. That dog is thinking, holy smoke, I should have drove. A picture is worth a thousand words. And the truth is, God has given us some pictures in the Bible that help us to understand what His relationship with us is like. The Bible paints some pictures about our connection to Jesus Christ. And I'll try to explain the picture to you of what it's like when Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that painted a picture for His disciples. Maybe they were looking at a vineyard when Jesus said it. Some think they were walking past one of the gates at the temple mount, and there was a vine up above the entryway. And so Jesus was explaining that. But Jesus was trying to give them a visual, a mental picture of what it's like to be connected to Him. That He is the vine. He is the source of life. And that we are the branch and we are to stay intimately connected to Him, for apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so they understood the importance of Bible reading and prayer and worship to stay connected to Christ, of daily, moment by moment, yielding their life to stay connected to Christ. It's a picture of fruitfulness. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, you could bear much fruit. And it's a picture that shows us that fruit-bearing in our lives, leading people to Christ, joy, love, peace, patience, all those things are not the result of your effort or my effort to please God. Fruit in our lives is simply the result of abiding. Abiding in Christ. You don't force fruit. The fruit happens as you abide. It's a picture. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Or what about this picture? The picture of the body. Okay, remember that analogy, that metaphor that is used in a lot of different places, particularly in Paul's writings. He loved that picture of the body. That God's design was that we would be the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says that you are the body of Christ and each one of you are members of it. We're a body. And the word says that though we are the body, Christ is the head. All of us have a part to play. Listen, everybody in this room right now, if you are in Christ, you are a part of one body. This body needs you. Remember what Paul says? We're not all ears, are we? Because if we were all ears, we couldn't see. But we're not all eyes, because if we were all eyes, how could we smell? So everybody has a role to play. Every one of us is significant. You have a role to play in this body. It's a picture. You don't want to do without your arm. You don't want to do without your lungs. You don't want to do without your eyes or your ears or your mouth. You don't want to do without your legs. You want a complete body, and Christ wants a complete body. And so you're a part of this family. But he also says in Ephesians, listen, there's really only one body globally. That though we are a body and you belong here, we form a part of the bigger church. There's only one church. And we are a part of that. And so we need different expressions in the body to make up the full body of Christ. But there's still only one head, and that's Jesus. And so he wants us to understand that we all have a part to play in our local church with a little c, but that our church has a part to play in the bigger scheme of things, in the one true church with a capital C, the body of Christ. That's who we are. There's another picture he gave us. That picture is the picture of marriage. It's a groom and a bride. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was once asked, hey, why do your disciples not fast? And so Jesus broke out with this answer. Well, as long as the bridegroom is with the attendants, they don't fast. It's only when the bridegroom is taken away that the attendants fast. And they're like, Jesus, we weren't talking about marriages. We were talking about fasting. But Jesus was trying to help them understand His relationship to us. He is the bridegroom. He is the groom. And He has a bride called the church. Later on, He was trying to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like in Matthew 25. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. 10 virgins are waiting on the bridegroom to come. And when they hear He's on the way, when He comes for them, they are ready and they run to meet Him. I could try to explain to you what that picture is like. A picture is worth 1,000 words, honestly. But my words would pale. Wouldn't it be much more fun if we just had a wedding tonight so that you could see what it looks like for us to be joined to Christ forever? We're going to have a wedding. So y'all chill out for just a second, and we're going to kind of transform things, and we're going to show you a picture of what it is to be joined to Christ tonight.
Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married.
Well, we have a groom. It's a big night for Mark Rogers. And would you stand and welcome his bride tonight? Thank you. You guys can be seated. It's my joy to welcome you to a very special occasion tonight as we watch as Jacqueline and Mark become husband and wife. Theirs is a story of the providence of God, the goodness and the grace of God. Mark's a young boy from South Texas who grew up in church and decided to go his own way, as we've already heard tonight. And yet a few months ago, God brought you to Himself. And it was in bringing you to Himself, Mark, that God has changed everything. You went home and asked Jacqueline, who was at that time your girlfriend, who was a good old Brookhaven, Lincoln County girl, who had walked through a lot of highs and lows and been raised up in church and knew about God. 9 or 10 years old, walked an aisle, but when you were in high school, you gave your life to Christ, Jacqueline. Became a Christ follower at that point and experienced a lot of heartache and some wayward times. But God's brought you here to this point. How in the world two people from Ole Miss could find it like this, I don't know. But we love you guys. And we are so excited that in His providence, God brought you here. And you guys need to hear that to be a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. To be a Christian means you're forgiven. And that you yield your life to Christ. And that's what you guys are doing. Mark, you went home, and you asked Jacqueline, where do you want God in this relationship? And she said, I want Him in the middle. And so tonight, we come to put God in the middle. I want us to pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we say to You that we love You and we are so thankful for grace and God, Your amazing mercy that is new every morning. And Lord, as I read recently that where it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Lord, that word follow means You hunt us down with goodness and mercy. And so God, tonight we just celebrate Your goodness and mercy in bringing grace upon us. That God, Mark and Jacqueline would be favored in grace like this and brought to You and now brought to one another. But God, even as they become one, God, we are reminded that it is Your grace and favor on us that brought us to You. So God, tonight we tell You thank You. Be honored in this place as we celebrate a picture of our union with You. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Who brings this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I.
Jacqueline, you and Mark have said that you guys want God to be at the center of your married life and your relationship. And so tonight I want to talk to you about what God's desire for you looks like. I want to take you back old school, way old school, Garden of Eden, old school, where God instituted this thing called marriage. And He gave us a picture of what marriage really looks like. Not how to have a good wedding. You have a beautiful wedding. I'm talking about how to have life together on the other side. Mark, listen to what the Bible says. In Genesis chapter 2, God had created Adam, created all the animals. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Can you say amen to that, bruh? I'm telling you. It isn't good for the man to be alone. So He said, I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. Now, here's what that word helper suitable means. It means somebody like him, but not exactly like him. Strong where he's weak, weak where he's strong, so that you guys can cover each other. That's the picture of being a helper, not a completer. Only Christ completes you, but a helper. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And the Bible says the Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, and He brought them all by Adam to see what Adam would name them. And Mark, He named them hippo, rhinoceros, horse, sparrow, robin, all those things, but He didn't name any of them honey. And so the Bible says that no suitable helper was found for Adam. So here's what God did. The Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, He took one of his ribs and He closed up the place with flesh. God's the first surgeon. He puts Adam out, takes a rib from him. And the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken out of the man and He brought her to the man. Now I'll stop right there and say, it's important for you to remember where He took the bone from. Jacqueline, He didn't take a bone out of his head to rule over him. to boss him. But mark, he didn't take a bone out of his foot either to be trampled on by him. He took a bone out of his side, under his arm to be protected by him, near to his heart to be loved by him. And he fashioned out of that a woman. And then brought her to the man, and then he wakes Adam up. And the man looks at this woman, and he says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man." Let me translate what that means. Adam wakes up and he finally sees somebody like me. And she's unbelievable. The Hebrew word for man is ish. The Hebrew word for woman is ishah. So when Adam looks at her, he says, "Ish, ish." But remember, she's standing there with no clothes. And so he goes, "Ishah. Okay. Well, maybe she's a little bit different then." And so my man is fired up. And he says, "This is it." And God says, "Okay. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked, and yet they felt no shame. Now here's God's intention for you from this day forward. God's intention is that you love. That's where relationships start, is love. And part of that love is, it's that emotional piece of you that thinks, man, this guy is a hunk. It's part of you that when you look at this woman, you think she is beautiful. Ishah. This girl is it. And there is a part of emotion when he asked you out for the first time, when she said yes, and you thought your heart was going to jump through your chest. The first time you held hands or kissed each other, there's a part of love which is emotional. And it feels good. But I was at a wedding rehearsal dinner one time down in New Orleans, and I heard the father of the groom stand up, toast his son, and he said, "Son, love is partly emotion, but love that is emotion only is shallow and it's destined to fail." You see, the Bible tells us that love is partly emotion, but love goes deeper than that. Can I read to you what the Bible says about love? 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. Love isn't self-seeking and it isn't easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects and always trusts and it always hopes and it always perseveres. Love never fails." Now you guys won't remember what I'm saying tonight probably, but maybe when you get home or tomorrow, would you just go read 1 Corinthians 13? Again, and what you'll find is that the way the Bible defines love, none of those are emotions. They're all choices and actions and a lifestyle that you cultivate. Love. Love that never fails or quits. No matter how good you feel or bad you feel, love that never fails. It's unconditional love. Secondly, that you would serve each other. That the two would leave their parents and that they would cleave to one another and become one. Now the truth is, as you've been dating and as you've been thinking about coming to this moment, both of you have put your best foot forward and you've tried to serve each other and keep each other happy. You didn't want to lose her, and I don't blame you. And you didn't want to lose him, and I don't blame you. There's a sense in which you felt like this is right and you have had an emotional connection and you have sensed, man, I love this person. And you have served each other. Now, God has brought you, and God's brought you together as different people. I ask both of you, "Hey, what is it about this person that you really like?" Okay, I don't know if y'all remember us in our counseling session talking about this. And you said, Jacqueline, that you like that this guy's just kind of got it all together, and he kind of helps you get it all together, and he's such an encourager, and he loves and gets your family, and they love and get him. And Mark, you said, "Man, I love this woman. She's absolutely beautiful. And she just brings out this artistic piece of me. And she's just such an... She calms me down." I don't know if you remember saying that. And you know why? You know why you like each other? Because you need that. You saw the strength in the other person that brought something out of you. Now let me tell you what's going to happen on the other side of this day. Where God made you different to bring you together, and that's what attracted you. Satan, the enemy, is going to try to take those differences and drive a wedge between you. And whereas you thought he was all together and kind of helped me get my life together, you're going to be tempted to say, "Well, you're controlling." Whereas he really got your family, you're going to be tempted to think, well, dude, come on, what about me? Forget my folks. Or where she is calming you down, man, that may get on your nerves because you need to vent and God put her in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you guys? That God made you different so that he could make you stronger. And what brought you to this moment is that you served each other and that you gave to each other and you were understanding to each other. And I would say to you, to the degree that you continue to love and serve each other in your married life, to that degree alone, will you be happy and enjoy this relationship. If you stop serving her and you demand that she become like me and she serve me, Mark is going downhill. Jacqueline, if you demand that he serve you and you don't serve him back, it's not going to work. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians? Wives, be submissive to your own husbands as to the Lord. Mark, he said, husbands, you give yourself up for her. Love her. Give yourself up for her just as Christ did the church. Serve each other. We talked about how to do that. Serve each other. And finally, accept each other. You accept one another. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were both naked and they felt no shame. What's that about? That's about a man and a woman standing there hiding nothing and with nothing to hide saying, this is me. And both of them saying, I'll take you. I'll take you. And you guys are here today. And I would say to you, Jacqueline, you are a beautiful bride today. Mark, you're getting a beautiful girl. But I'm telling you, girlfriend's got issues. If you don't believe that, just ask somebody down there on that front row. They'll probably tell you, girlfriend's got issues. Matter of fact, you don't even know some of them yet. And Jacqueline, he is a handsome guy. And God's doing a great work in him. But dude's got issues too. Just ask some of those people right down there and they'll tell you. And the truth is, you don't know all that that is. But let me tell you what marriage is. Marriage is saying, everything I know, I love and accept. And everything I don't know yet, I choose today to love and accept. I'm standing here hiding nothing. I'll be honest and open with you for the rest of my life, no secrets. And I'll be embraced by you and embrace you no matter what. Now that's a tall order, is it not, to love and serve and accept that way? And I would say to you, you can't do it on your own, which is why we're here tonight. Because here's the way you're going to be able to do that. It's because Christ loves you. Remember the triangle I drew? And that as you feel and experience God's love, and as you walk with Christ, and as Christ feels you, that's the love that you share. The Bible says that God loved you unconditionally, and He sent Christ for you. That's a picture of love, that Christ would love you no matter what, beyond emotion. He didn't feel like going to the cross, but He said, nevertheless, I will do what the will of the Father is. He loves you. And as you walk in the love of God, and God loves you, as you walk in the love of God, you can give that love. The Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life for His bride. He gave Himself up for us so that we could be clean. And as you guys experience the service of Christ toward you, you just emulate Christ toward her, Mark. You emulate Christ toward him, Jacqueline. You follow Christ. He is our groom. He teaches us to serve. And He accepts us. Certainly you know of your own shortcomings. And so does God. And yet He says, I love you and I accept you with open arms. And it is the mercy that you receive from the Father. It's the same mercy that you give to each other. So that's what we celebrate tonight. We are celebrating you guys being joined together as a picture of what God has done for us. So if this is truly what you guys desire, I want to ask you to turn and face each other and kind of join hands. And I'm going to ask you to make a vow of that love. And Mark, I'm going to ask you first to look at Jacqueline and repeat after me. I, Mark, take thee, Jacqueline.
I, Mark, take thee, Jacqueline.
To be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poorer.
For richer and for poorer.
In sickness as in health.
In sickness as in health.
And forsaking all others.
And in forsaking all others.
I cling only to you.
I cling only to you.
Until death alone shall part us.
Until death alone shall part us.
This is my solemn vow.
This is my solemn vow.
Jacqueline, and taking the man who now holds you by your hands to be your husband. I want you to look at him and repeat after me. I, Jacqueline, take thee, Mark.
I, Jacqueline, take thee, Mark.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poorer.
For richer or for poorer.
In sickness as in health.
In sickness as in health.
And forsaking all others.
And forsaking all others.
I cling only to you.
I cling only to you.
Until death alone shall part us.
Until death alone shall part us.
This is my solemn vow.
This is my solemn vow.
In the same way that this couple has exchanged a solemn vow, it is in our response to the love of Christ that we make a covenant with Him. We understand His love for us and the sacrifice that He's made for us. And we say to God, God, I receive Your love and I will give my life for You as You have given Your life for me. We enter a covenant of marriage with the Lord, even as this couple has entered a covenant of marriage even now. Mark and Jacqueline, the ring is a symbol of Your love. As you guys look at these rings, I want to point out a couple of things about them. One is that they're precious. They're not cheap. They're not inexpensive. These rings speak about the nature of this relationship, that this relationship is to be a relationship that is valued by You. Notice that the circles are never ending. They don't stop. They just keep going on and on. And in the same way, the Bible says that this covenant of marriage is forever. This is what to be in covenant with God is. It is saying, Jesus, until You come for me, I will love and I will stick and I will stay. I will serve and I will accept. Now, Jacqueline, I often tell brides, you can tell the way a guy feels about you by the gifts that he gives. Mark gave you a puppy, that was fine. Or if he gave you a sweater, that was okay. It's kind of a lame gift. If he gave you some earrings, he's getting warmer. But girlfriend, this is what you've been after the whole time, right? Here's why. Because as a man, he can't give you any greater gift than to say, out of all the people in the world, I believe God has led me to you, and I want to be married to you forever. But Mark, you got to know that what this ring symbolizes for her is the greatest gift she could ever give to you, and that is to say, out of all the men in the world, You're the only one that I would change my name for, and I will be yours forever. So what I want to ask you to do is to take these rings and place them on each other's finger. Mark, would you take this ring, and place it on Jacqueline's finger? Would you look at her and repeat after me? With this ring. I thee wed.
And with all my worldly goods.
I thee endow.
In the name of the Father.
The Son.
And the Holy Spirit.
Jacqueline, would you take this ring and place it on Mark's finger? Would you look at him and repeat after me? With this ring. I thee wed.
And with all my worldly goods.
I thee endow.
In the name of the Father.
The Son.
And the Holy Spirit.
You know, just as this couple has exchanged a ring as a sign of the covenant, Christ has given us some symbols of the covenant that we make with Him when we receive Him into our lives. One is baptism. Mark, you experienced that earlier. That is a sign of the covenant that you now belong to Christ. The thing that took place in your heart in February is when you became a Christian. But in that water today, just kind of symbolize that. The ring doesn't make you married. The ring is a sign of that. The baptism waters don't make you a Christian. They symbolize what's taken place. The other symbol that Christ gave us is the symbol of communion. And it signifies that we are one with Christ, that He gave His life for us. And as we receive communion, we are saying we identify with Christ. We believe that He is the Son of God, sinless. We believe He gave His life for us on the cross, His blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. And so here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, we're going to go over here and I'm going to serve you guys communion. But while we're doing that, as a family tonight, I'm going to pray in just a moment. Some men are going to come in and they're going to serve you communion. A picture of the covenant that we have with Christ. And so as you are waiting to be served, or as you are served, would you just hold that piece of bread? Would you think about what that juice represents tonight? That God loved you, that He wanted relationship with you, not just relationship, but a marriage with you, and that He gave His blood to forgive you so that you could be His bride. And as your heart is prepared to receive communion, I'm going to ask that you guys in the congregation, just as your heart is prepared, you go ahead and you eat and you drink whenever you're ready. Mark and Jacqueline and I will have a private communion right here while you guys are doing that. I want to pray, and then we're going to receive communion tonight. Father God, we thank you for a covenant of love that you give to us, and Lord, that you would give us pictures of that, God, through baptism and God, through communion. Lord God, we thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus. Jesus, that you loved us enough to lay down your life for us so that we could be your bride. God, you are our groom. Jesus, you are our groom. God, we have relationship with you that is forever. And God, you have given yourself completely to us. And God, we give ourselves completely to you. And so, God, tonight, I pray you bless that. You bless that in Mark and Jacqueline. Lord, even as the first act of their married life together, they would receive communion. Lord Jesus, be the center of their lives forever. We pray that tonight in the name of Christ. Amen.
All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of the dust. You beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of us. All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of a dust. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of us.
Mark and Jacqueline, you have exchanged a vow of your love, of covenant today in front of God and in front of these who've gathered to celebrate today. Therefore, and you've exchanged a ring as a sign of that covenant. Therefore, it is my joy to be able to pronounce you husband and wife. What God has joined together, let no man, no woman, no circumstance ever break apart. Mark, you may kiss your bride. Face the congregation. Mark, would you give her your arm? Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed truly a joy today to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Mark Rogers. Just a second. That's a good thing to celebrate. I agree. You know, Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm coming back for my bride. Jacqueline made a promise to Mark sometime back. Mark had made an offer to her sometime back. When she said yes, this day became inevitable. Christ said, I'm coming for you, and He's come for us, and He's given love toward us. And when you say yes to Him, He says, I'm coming back, and I'm coming to get you. You know, in talking with Mark and Jacqueline about this night, and it was not their desire to make a big deal about them. It was really our desire to say, our church family, God's love is enough. And to celebrate a couple redeemed and walking in the power and the goodness of the grace of God. But Jacqueline did say this. She and Mark agreed. You know, here's the one thing we would want for our wedding to be. We would want that if there's anybody in the congregation that night who thinks that they're far from God and that God would never want them, I want them to hear that He does. And so I would say to you tonight, Mark and Jacqueline Rogers are a picture of the grace and the love of God that is relentless. He never gives up. And He's coming for them one day. And I would say to you, now is the time to say yes to the grace of God. He's coming. So let's tonight prepare our hearts. Let's make sure that we are ready for our groom to come. If you have not received the invitation of Jesus to be forgiven and to exchange your life for His life and to become a part of His body, to abide in Him and to become a part of His bride, do that tonight. When we sing, you just come to the front of this room. There will be some men and women who are here. They want to help you know what it is and how to do that to become a part of the bride of Christ tonight. For the rest of us who are a part of the bride, who wait for our King to come, our groom to come, could we just celebrate the goodness of the Lord? Let's all stand together. We're going to have some ministers come, but you respond to God's grace tonight.